This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with my co-host Tim Henney. Are you a parent who struggles with the difficulties of raising a child in this age of technology, high expectations, and cultural definitions of success? Well, our next guest should interest you. As part of the Communities That Care speaker series, Dr. Brad Reedy will present Raising Resilient Children Amidst Today's Societal Challenges. It's taking place on Monday, that's this coming Monday, September 17th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Blair Education Center at the Park City Hospital. Dr. Reedy is nationally recognized as an expert on healthy parenting, as well as the author of the book, The Journey of the Heroic Parent. He's also the co-founder of Evoke Therapy Programs. Dr. Reedy, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Great to be with you this morning. Thanks for having me.
We're so glad that you could join us and that you'll be joining our community on Monday at the Blair Education Center from 6 to 8 p.m. What you talk about, oh, it's what I needed so many years ago. You know, where did it happen that it wasn't enough to just love your kids and spend a lot of time with them?
Right. I think that's a basic idea that I think a lot of us have, right? When we first have children, that we know we have the love, and we know that that's the most important ingredient and fuel to effective, healthy, nurturing parenting, and we hope that that's enough. And of course, there are a lot of other skills and ideas that come into it that we kind of learn the hard way as we go.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you spoke about, I viewed a couple of your vlogs, which are wonderful. And what really hit home for me is how much we identify ourselves through our children.
Right.
And we do it, what we think is in the name of love, and how our children are just an extension of ourselves. But that is sort of a crucial place where we can really develop some dysfunction within our own parenting and then consequently with our children.
Right. It makes so much sense. I think it's natural to look at your children, to look at one's children and see yourself and see them as a reflection of you. Our culture teaches that we're defined by how successful our children are, how we struggle. And then we have our own wounds and unfinished business from childhood that we try to repair in our children. But what this does, of course, is it blocks us from seeing our children. But we're trying to repair something that already happened to us, and it doesn't really connect to our children. So I think we come by these kind of mistakes very, very honestly, and that's really what my work is helping parents get past the shame and the stigma of the struggles of parenting and be able to compassionately look at their own work in this process without the blame that often gets loaded onto the questions that we have.
Dr. Reedy, could you kind of deconstruct that aspect of this for us? Because I'm wondering about, you know, some of these things have, it seems like, always been part of raising children and parenting. And
sure.
So what is it, or is there something different that has created a form of enmeshment that has become unhealthy, or has enmeshment always been with us? It's always been unhealthy, but our lens or our interest in exploring these issues is different today than it was, say, 50 years ago or even 100 years ago.
Yeah, I imagine that some of these problems have always been present to some degree, some variation. But I think what's happening in today's generation is because previous generations, children were to be seen and not heard, right? There was not a lot of focus on the child's emotional world, and that's the world that we grew up in. And so because we grew up in that world, we become very, very interested, very involved, very identified with our children, trying to really find our voice. But we think we're trying to find the child's voice. So I think it's a lot of positive energy. I think the intentions are good, but this over-identification with our children in an attempt to kind of heal our own childhood leaves the child out altogether, right? Because by definition, if you over-identify with your child, you miss your child because you're seeing yourself in them. And so I think it's just an extension of previous generations' problems, and it comes from a really good place, but to deconstruct it, as you said, to kind of understand the error of this way of thinking is a really important part. And it takes courage. It takes what I call a heroic effort to be able to look at yourself in the process and focus on yourself as the project and not your child.
Well, that was my next question for you. You took the words right out of my mouth, because your book, The Journey of the Heroic Parent, I wanted to ask you about that. And I wanted to ask you about the aspects of courage and what it takes to be a heroic parent. And of course, I think you're alluding to, the hero's journey, which is a theme through literature for, hundreds, if not thousands of years now.
Right. There's a simple quote that I use that says, no matter what the story, the heroic journey is always inward. And it is borrowed from Joseph Campbell's analysis of literature and myth, where we think we're going out there to find the Holy Grail, to find the widget, to find the thing. But the real difficult journey is to look inward, and all of our stories, all of our myths kind of illustrate that. So for me, I accept the premise in my work with families that there's a struggling child, and that parents often seek me and my program out, Evoke Therapy programs, to kind of heal their child. I accept that premise. But once in our program, once in my care, I ask the parents to do the same thing that they're asking their children to do, which is look at themselves, walk into an Al-Anon meeting, walk into parental therapy. And that's not easy. That's because of our shame, because of our need to be right and good, and because we invest so much in that. It's absolutely terrifying to say, what is my participation in this dance? What issues do I have that carry over? Because the consequences are so great. We don't want our wounds, our mistakes, our fallibilities to impact our children. And so it takes a great deal of courage to be willing to look at yourself and to walk into rooms, as Campbell says, as Joseph Campbell says, to be able to walk into the dark forest and explore oneself. So that's really where the idea comes from.
I so appreciate all of your references to Joseph Campbell, and you pick out the nuggets that I have most enjoyed that have come out of his work, and applying it to parenting is just fabulous. I'm wondering if there are something, so much of what we do for our children, or how we direct them, or how we try to guide them, comes from a good place, a place of wanting to be a good parent. And so how do we identify when we are doing what ends up being the opposite with our children? And here's a for example, So in Park City, as lots of winter sport activity, and there's a lot of pressure around, getting involved in that. And so it comes from a good place, because we want our kids to be busy and involved and active and athletic. But how do you check when it's coming from what you want for yourself, what you're healing in yourself?
That's a great question. I think Alice Miller, who's an author of one of my favorite books, The Drama of the Gifted Child, says that, in order to do this kind of work, we have to be willing to look at our own family of origin. And so in my work, there's no way around doing your own therapy, walking into and working on your own codependency. And so to be able to see where it comes from, at times a wounded place, a scared place, an anxious place, a place where I want to look good to my community, to be good to my community, to be a good parent. It takes more than one person. It takes a dialogue. As Miller says, that there's no substitute for personal therapy. And so for me, and I'm a believer in therapy, I share often, I've been with my current therapist for 20 years. I've been in therapy for 30 years of my life in total. And so we do so much in our lives to work on our physical health, what we eat, how we work out, how we move our bodies. And I believe the same thing is true for our emotional and mental health, and that is a practice, a discipline. So it takes work. It takes the practice. And we have to get beyond our mother tongue, as I like to say. We have to learn this kind of new language and ask ourselves difficult questions like, why am I doing this? Am I doing this out of a place of ego? Am I doing this so that I appear good? Am I doing this because of the pressures to fit into my community as a parent? And those kinds of explorations, those kinds of dialogue, in my experience, can only happen with another person. So the simple answer to your question is go to therapy, go to 12-step meetings, go to groups, go to support groups, go to places where you can have a dialogue and ask difficult questions and allow yourself to be asked difficult questions about your intentions and where those things come from.
To raise resilient children, we need to be resilient parents. And that means allowing, being okay with allowing our children to struggle sometimes.
Right.
And that so speaks to me, and I'm sure it does a lot of parents, because I just never wanted my kids to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
How do we...
Yeah,
go ahead.
I think that comes from a good place, right? Because when they're young, we're responsible for their life, their well-being. And so it's kind of, it's easy to see how that extends into pre-adolescence and adolescence. We don't want them to struggle. We don't want them to experience pain. And I call it, it's a difficulty with our empathic misery, right? Our watching, our, you know, I always say, for example, flying on an airplane, listening to a crying child on an airplane is difficult. Listening to my crying child on an airplane is impossible. There's something that wires us to respond to their pain and their sadness. And that's why it takes a great deal of work and a great deal of effort to take a step back, enough so to make our own differentiation, our own journey the priority, so that we can see our children. That's the real key to raising resilient children, is to develop eyes and ears to see and hear our children. And that comes from a very strong and developed sense of self in us. And that's not a one-time fix or a quick fix. It's something that is a lifelong project for all of us.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Dr. Brad Reedy. He is the author of the book, The Journey of the Heroic Parent. He'll also be speaking here in Park City next Monday from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Blair Education Center.
Dr. Reedy, I have a question about needs and wants. And I think what I'm hearing in this conversation is that parents often want things that maybe kids don't need. And if you could boil it down to what children need from their parents, is there a way to do that? Is there a simple explanation of what children need? I was told by my son what he needed, and it was very different than what I wanted in hindsight.
Right. And I wish there was a very simple answer to that question, because I think a lot of people ask that. And that's why I say it's a journey. But that's the important distinction. What I always say, Tim, is you're asking the right question. And that comes out of a place of knowing yourself. Most parents that I work with come to me with questions about what should I do in this situation? What should be my line, my boundary? How much social media? What should be the curfew? And I always say, it's hard to answer that because you're asking the wrong question. The right question is, who are you? You know, what is your truth? And then those decisions come out of that place. So it's like my book talks about, it's shifting the question from what should I do to who am I? And then from there, we can ask the question of who is my child? When you can see yourself, when you can define yourself clearly, you now are capable of seeing your child as an individual. And then you can respond to questions about what to do and how to respond to support them and where they need to go. But if you aren't defined, if who you are, your wounds, your wants, your desires, your truth, your values is not clearly defined, and it's not for all of us, nobody's perfect. If it's not defined, there's no way to clearly see another person, right? If you don't know yourself, you can't see other people, because you don't know whether you're seeing reflections of yourself, projections of yourself. And so the question changes to who am I? And that's why your question is so common and so important. And that's why shifting the question is an important part of my work.
And then this is a little bit off track, because you've been talking about doing personal work, and I can't help but think about context and safe environments, supportive environments. And of course, I go right immediately to our little community here of Park City. And you've been engaged now in Park City for a while, as we've been setting the speaker series up, and you've made some trips and met some people in the school district, Mary Krista Smith and the Mental Wellness Alliance, people like that. And so from your perspective, is there a benefit to having a broader, more communal exploration, which isn't doing personal work, of course, you know, that has to happen. But in parallel, you know, I see something happening here in Park City that's very supportive of creating an environment where maybe more personal work is available to people, because we're exploring things like the role of art and culture, because athletics isn't going to be the thing for every kid, but there may be creative activities that engage a different group of children and give them a level of support that they haven't had.
That's a really good point. I'm I'm so proud of Park City and the community, the care, and Summit County Health. I'm so proud of what they're doing, because they're doing the thing that really does open the doorway to people doing a deeper exploration, and that is knocking down the walls that we build to protect us from the shame and the stigma. And so I hope people come out. You know, you can sit in the back of the room. You can sit there and be quiet. You're not going to be called upon. You don't have to share any part of yourself necessarily that's personal. But you'll hear the stories that I share of the families that I've worked with that's just like you, that say, we're all in this together. The fantasy, the worry that we all have that we're alone in this process, that comes from those walls of shame. And when those can be removed, when we realize that everybody we know loves somebody, cares about somebody who's struggling with mental health or addiction, when we can get to that place and when we can recognize that, it's so much easier to step into your work, to have a conversation with a friend, to reach out to resources. And so, again, Monday's event will be about creating a context, creating a conversation, at least in that room for 2 hours, where hopefully people don't feel alone, and hopefully people can feel like it's safe to walk into their community resources and to be able to ask questions and ask for help without the fear that somebody's going to look down on them, that somebody's going to judge them, that they're going to stand out as this only person in the room that has a problem. So I hope that's what people experience from what Park City and the communities are doing.
The title of Dr. Reedy's talk is Raising Resilient Children Amidst Today's Societal Challenges. Again, it's taking place Monday, September 17th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Blair Education Center at the Park City Hospital. Dr. Reedy, as many of us know, suicide is the leading cause of death for Utahns aged 10 through 17. And the state suicide rate for all ages is more than 60% above the national average. What are your thoughts about that? Does religion play a role in this? Does technology play a role in this? And which group is most vulnerable?
Yeah, you know there are some points in the data that suggest that a culture that has a religious overlay can send messages to young children, to people, that they're not okay with who they are, you know, because there's such an emphasis on being good, on getting it right. And so that can be a part of it. It can also be true in other cultures where there's not religion, where there's an expectation for sports success, like you're talking about, or academic success. The North Shore of Chicago, Palo Alto, California, you know, these pockets of communities, these pockets in our country where the expectations are off the chart. And so what happens for the individual is they feel like they're not good enough, they don't fit in, they're not worth it. I love what somebody said to me one time about suicide. This idea that the suicidal impulse is correct. The mistake that suicidal people make is they think they need to kill the whole self, when in reality they just need to kill part of themselves. And when they kill part of themselves, they can be free. And oftentimes, the part of ourselves that we need to kill to be free is the part about what other people think of us, what we should be, what are the expectations of our religious or our academic or our athletic culture. And so my work, again, is to help people to understand that you can get rid of part of yourself without getting rid of all of yourself. And then it's a life that's liberating and free and joyful. But again, that's not an easy thing to kind of shed off that context. And the messages that whatever culture you live in sets up for you. That's a very difficult process.
Wow, that is a very poignant point. Dr. Brad Reedy, we're so happy you could join us today. Dr. Reedy is the co-founder of Evoke Therapy Programs, the author of the book, The Journey of the Heroic Parent. Again, he'll be speaking on Monday from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Blair Education Center of the Park City Hospital. His talk will be Raising Resilient Children Amidst Today's Societal Challenges. Dr. Reedy, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.